That's Ezekiel's favorite song. You guess can't guess why. First verse, school days all gone. All done. So, anyway, not sure that's exactly what it means there, but Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2, and looking at this passage, hope that you're not getting burnt out of Ruth morning and evening. I don't think you are, from what I gather. Ruth is a favorite of many people, or at least high on people's lists. I'd like to go through the story. It's a beautiful story. And you know, a lot of people, yes, it's a love story, but oh, folks, there's more than this love thing with Ruth and Boaz. But I'll tell you what, it is a love story, which I think most people truly mean, a love story with God and His people. And I'm thankful for that and how His plan of redemption came to each and every one of us. And folks, what a blessed love story that is. And so, yes, get caught up in the story of Ruth and of course, Boaz coming. But I trust that even as tonight, you get caught up in a story of God and His love to us on an everyday basis and how He is living for us and He's planning for us and He's continuing to do things. You understand that God was working before the foundations of the world for you. Did you understand that? Do you understand that? And you say, Pastor, God didn't have me in mind. Oh, He did. He did. And that's a good and loving God. No human being could ever do that. Could look into the future and see every person and yet so infinitely and yet personally deal with His own. You know, I'm glad the way God deals with me, and I feel like He's my very, 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 very best friend. When all else fails and everybody else seems to be against me, you know what I have, my dear Lord, that I can come and cry out to Him and say, God. And you know, and I know that God understands everything that I'm going through. And He is there to lead and guide and give me direction and comfort and peace when I'm struggling. And again, no one's there. God has it all. You know, and yet God is, we can get to, kind of like this morning, we can get to thinking that is only with us. But understand, God can be that way and is that way with every single Christian on the face of the earth at the same time. He has that deep and intimate relationship and He's working right with you. No, don't get it wrong. Say, well, He's just part-time with me. No, that's a human perspective. You know what? We cannot, one person cannot divide up. You know what? I could not divide up myself to 85 people and give you 100% of everything. It's impossible. Does that make sense? We cannot do it. I can't give you 100% of my time and somebody else 100% of my time. It's impossible for me. But it's not impossible with an almighty, all-powerful God. God, do you realize that you have 100% of God all the time? All the time. I've got it. Folks, that's tremendous. That's a blessing. Take it. And understand with that concept, with that idea, with that truth, is the right word. With that truth, then you know that God is always 100% of the time at work, and He always has been, and He always will be at work in your life 100%, full force, everything going. That's amazing. And so, oh, I believe with all of my heart that most of you people, if not all of you people in this room, you know the story of Ruth, and you know that God is all-powerful, all-sovereign, He's in control of everything. We all know that. I don't think that that's a surprise to anybody here. But I don't think that we practice it and recognize that all the time. I don't. I know it. But life gets tough midweek. By the way, that's a reason why we get together on Wednesday nights also and why we get together on Sunday, because can you imagine if we didn't get together very often and we were on our own? Oh man, that'd be tough. But we get together and we can encourage each other and kind of get uplifted and setbacks because the week is tough and busy and we need to just recharge. Somebody I was talking to recently just said, you know, it's a recharging. It's a recharging of our lives and our days. And And praise the Lord that those people shared that with me. It's a blessing as we continue to go on. But you know, folks, God is always working. He's always working. He's always working. If we could get that and see it, identify it through life, and we're getting it through Ruth, it will help us with our perspective, and it will keep us from the gutter. It will keep us from discouragement. It will keep us from anxiety. It will keep us from you know, life is dying with, you know, from, and I say that, life is dying from depression and anxiety and fear and doubt and struggles. I'll tell you what, it's rampant. And it's rampant right here, right in within these doors of the people that are sitting right here. People struggle. That's the truth, and I'm learning that in my young years as I grow older. And it's just not you. It's pastors. It's leadership. People struggle. Why? Because life is tough. But if we would get the godly perspective, last week, get above the clouds, into God's world, if I could put it that way. God's doing a perfect work. He's doing a perfect work. All right, let's get into Ruth. Let's look at it from Ruth. I can give you all those truths, and I already have been giving you those truths. But let's see how God is working. And so we have seen God. Has God had a plan? We sang the song. Rick was right. This is perfect. My father planned it all. Was God planning this whole story?
Yes.
Yeah. Did it seem like there were some human mistakes being made? Yes. It seems like maybe God was making some mistakes. We know that he wasn't. In fact, God was doing a wonderful work in Naomi's life. Oh, if Naomi could have saw that. But she will. She has. She will, though, in our story. She'll see that. And in the end, God brings it all together. Would you like that for yourself? Would you like to know that God's going to bring it all together? Is it easy to see right now? No. But, you know, in truth, that he is. Well, God's working through Naomi, and he's working through Ruth, and God miraculously gives Naomi Ruth to go back and be a blessing. And Ruth is going to make a big difference. Now, we're looking at that in the mornings, you know, how Ruth is being a blessing to her people. But I want us to see in the evenings how God is being a blessing, is actively, he has been and he is right now, and he will continue to be a blessing to each and every one of us. So let's look at these verses. I want to read 7 verses this evening. I know that this morning we only went through 2. I'm trying to keep parallel and stay the same so we can keep going. I don't want a Sunday nights to be a chapter ahead. I'd really like to stay the same place. So I'm working on that. We're going to go to verse 7 right now. I think that we can still stay in the same place. So let's look at Ruth chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 to 7. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light in a part of, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel and came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. We're going to stop right there. I know the story keeps going. Boaz is going to come back with an answer about that. But let's stop right there. All right, there's a number of things, even in just these few verses, that we see that sort of just happened, right? All right, look at verse 3. You know where I'm going with this. You know where the scriptures are going, where God is going with this. Isn't it interesting? I do believe that, and I'm not trying to put a human perspective on on who God is. But I do think that he, remember, we're made in his image, so we do resemble him. We take after him, though, not he take after us. And so we got to get that straight in our minds, I think, that we take after him. But notice the words. I think that God, in his sense of humor, the way he wrote this here in Ruth, verse 3, you know, it says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her what? Her hap. You say, why in the world did God put that in the scriptures? Her hap. Her hap was to light in a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Okay, now, humanly speaking, you know better, probably, but humanly speaking, when we would read that, what's the idea and what's the thought when you read, and her hap was to light in the field that belonged to Boaz? Go ahead and speak. What do you think of?
She just accidentally...
It just by chance, like, how would it happen that she just accidentally picked Boaz, right? I know that you know better than that. Did she happen to just pick? Was this by chance? Did she just have a spirit about her to just happen to pick the right place to go? All right. Have you ever happened to have something happen in your life? Happen, you know, coming up a lot tonight. Have you ever just happened to have something, you know, happen in your life? All right, now let's take, you know where we're going spiritually. I don't want to say throw spirituality out, but have you ever had things happen in your life that just, that was coincidence, right? Now, and again, I know you know the answer, but that's the way it seems, though, like it, doesn't it? It just seems like God didn't put that together, you know, that it just was... This is just something that worked out, you know, that I just, you know, I reached into this bug and I pulled out, you know, and I went and tried it and it worked. You know, you're, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you're looking for a, you know, you're in the garage, you're working, you're almost done with the project and you need a, you know, you need a nut to go on the end of a bolt or something like that. And you don't, you know, you don't have a bag of that right size. So you go in your nice trusty bin that is just filled with nuts and bolts. And you're looking through and nothing's working. You grab one, you go, And the temptation is to think, what? What are the chances? We say it's a needle in a haystack. It could never happen unless I just happen upon this the right nut or the right bolt, or you know that. Well, look, you know, you come into your wife and you say, look, wife, look at what happened. You know, I was doing this, and it just, you know, just like, what are the chances that I would have this, or that I would pull this out, or that I, you know, it just happened to be on the day that I was planning this, and look at what happened. Now, the word happened isn't wrong. Okay, happened means it took place. But when we look at this word happened, we humanly carry with it what? It just happened. As if blindly things fall into place. And on the opposite, we take the opposite. We take the other, you know, it just, something doesn't work out. And we go like this and say, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. It just didn't work. And in either case, we're looking at it and we're saying, What really are we doing? We're taking God out of the picture and we're just putting happenstance in there. Life, day to day, just comes and goes, and what happens? You know, would you believe it that this person called today? What are the chances? What are the chances? Well, folks, it's not chance. You see, because the steps of a good man are... ordered. Ordered of the Lord. Now, I know the scripture says it. Now, and I'm not disagreeing with the scripture. She did have, when we look at the word, we take it and I think that we misinterpret the word. Was God saying that Ruth just accidentally went to the right field? Is that what God was saying?
No.
No, God ordered her steps to the right field. You see, God had a plan, and God knew about Ruth and Boaz a long time ago, before this story ever took place. God had great plans for Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. And if you want to say, he had great plans for Elimelech as well. And God's going to use his family in a tremendous way. What an amazing thing. But we read this here, she happened. You know, it was her hat to light apart, on a part of a field belonging to Boaz. And of course, it was not by chance that Ruth ended up in this place. You see, Ruth obeyed God's leading and providing within his laws was guided God's perfect, gracious plan, specific plan. Could God have used Ruth if she would have went to somebody else's field? Of course he could have. But the plan was through Boaz, already ordained. You see, this again, the steps of a good man are already ordered by the Lord. This is not something like, you know what? God is looking at the circumstances in life, and he's looking at what we do, and he's kind of like reacting and acting according to what we do to try to get us in the right spot. No, my friends, God does not act and react according to what we do to try to help and work with us to get to the right place. I wish I could remember this certain, and if any of you remember it, remind me. I can't remember what it's called. There's a theology out there, and again, any of you, Trevor, Dan, any of you guys remember this? I did a paper on it in graduate school. You'd think that I would remember it. Open theism, okay? Thank you. You know what open theism is? It's what I just described. You know, there's a lot to it. But God works. God works with us, kind of like we're a little bit, got our reins, and he's got his reins, and how we act, and what we do, then God says, here, let me get this part, and he works with us to, accomplish this will. Do you realize what that does to the God that we have? It totally destroys his sovereignty, and it destroys his all powerful ruling over us. But yet his also goodness in bringing us to certain places, folks. God does not do that with us in our lives. Yeah, God works with us, but he's working to us. He's ordaining, he's orchestrating things. God is not just reacting to us. That kind of a God is not a God at all. What a horrible theology, but yet there's people that believe this. And it was big back in the day. Boy, that's been a long time ago now that I was in college, but it's still out there. An open relationship that we have with God. Now, God has a specific plan, and he is doing that work. You know, this orchestration, this field, again, I don't know exactly what happened that morning that Ruth gets up, and this morning that we learned she said that, let me, right? Let me go. And so she gets together her things. How long did Ruth stay out that day? All day. It was recorded. She came to us in the morning. She asked if she could glean, and we let her. She goes out in the field, and she gleans, and she's been out there all day. So I don't know if she had any food to get together a lunch. I don't know what was taking place. The scriptures don't exactly tell us, but Ruth wakes up in the morning, and she talks to Naomi. Naomi says, go ahead. And Ruth goes out. How did she get there? I don't know. But the Spirit of the Lord was guiding. And you say, was God, did God have a field there that she passed by that she didn't go into? I don't know. Was there a sign on Boaz's field that says, you know, gleaners welcome? I don't know. Did Ruth pray to God, Jehovah, and say, God, would you please lead me to the right place? I don't know. Is it important that we pray before our day that God leads us? It is. But let me ask you a trick question. Can God lead you to the right place if you don't pray? Brothers and sisters, if you would get that, that would take a load off of your shoulders. I'm not for you stopping to pray. Because we have a responsibility to pray. And I'll tell you what, I have a security and a peace and assurance when I do pray that God's going to lead me. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. God is sovereign with or without you. God is a God of grace. You know what grace is? It's free and it has nothing to do with you. Did you catch that? It's absolutely free and it has nothing to do with you. You say, could Ruth have been led there if she didn't pray to God and ask him for his guidance? What's the answer? Absolutely yes. Ought we to pray and ask God's guidance? Yes. Because I think what prayer does is when we get to the right field, when we get to the right place, it is so much easier to stop and say, God, thank you for bringing me here. I really believe that prayer just brings us closer to God in thanksgiving and recognition that God brought me here. But it's not the prayer that is necessarily, well, he prayed, so I'm going to do it, and he didn't pray, so I'm not. Now, there's the verse, ye have not because ye ask not. We ought to pray. God says to pray. God uses our prayer. But get this. If you forget to pray in the morning, and yet we want God's leading and direction, God's still going to do your work. His work. God's still going to take you to the right place. I'm so thankful that he which hath begun a good work in you is going to finish it. Brothers and sisters, you see, God's leading is not based upon you. God is going to lead you, and he is going to guide you. You realize how much pressure that takes off me? I'm thankful for the pressure that's taken off me in salvation, that I don't have to work for my salvation. I'm also thankful that in life, it's not based upon me, of God's sanctification and leading me and guiding me in the right spot. If God wants you to place, he's going to show you. He's going to lead you. Can we kick and scream and say no and decide not to go? We can. But brothers and sisters, if you want God's will, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Did you catch that? Is that a blessing to you? It is to me. And I don't know if Ruth prayed, but God definitely had a spot for Ruth and for Naomi and for David and for the Son of God. And it happened as Ruth walks out the door, and she just went to the right spot. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can get up in the morning and, you know what? Do you see the opposite of this? I can wake up in the morning and I can be just terrified to take a step. I can be scared to death to make a wrong choice. God, would you please help me to know what to do? I don't know. And, you know, and I can walk around for 3 hours in the morning and say, God, I don't know, should I leave today? You know, there's snow out there, and I just don't know if I'm going to get in a wreck. God, you know, when you read a passage and you say, I don't know if I should drive today. I don't know. You know what? Is that the way God wants us to live our lives? You see, this has a lot of effect on our walking through. We've got to understand what God does here. We've got to get it. Because God does not intend for us to wait and wait and wait until we're hit on the road of Damascus and he said, here I am and this is what I want you to do. Brothers and sisters, there are some days that I don't exactly know what to do, but I pray to God and I say, God, you lead me and guide me in the right way and I'm going to trust you in that. And when certain things happen in my day, I take them as God. And you know what? When I need to make a decision, God, here it is. I don't know what to do. Would you please help me to do it? Okay. And I say amen. And you know what? Some of you would say, boy, you don't pray very long before you make a decision, but I have done the opposite. And I have prayed and I've walked around for hours not knowing what to do. But you see, I'm missing something. I need to trust in the sovereign and almighty God that is going to order my steps. Brothers and sisters, if you are wanting to know God's will, he's not going to keep it from you. And he's going to direct your steps. That is a blessing, because I can pray and I can say, God, I want to know what you want me to do. And now I'm trusting you to lead me in the way. And so I'm just going to do what you, where I'm led to go. And I'm going to make this decision, and I'll make that decision. And I might be tempted to think, oh, I hope this was the right decision. But folks, that's worthless time also. That's a waste of time, because God is not going to let it happen if it's not the right thing. You say, well, what if I'm a Jonah? What if I... Listen, do you want God's will or not? You know if you're a Jonah. You know that if you God says to do this, he's been very clear with you, and you are saying no. But you see, the opposite. A lot of people take their lives throughout their lives, and they worry and fret and fear that, oh, maybe I'm this, maybe I'm that. Do you realize we've got to stop being introspective and let God do his work? David, you know, is saying in Psalm, what is it? Search me, O God. Psalm 139. He says, search me, O God. You know, whose job is it to search us? Ours? No. It's God's job. And when God finds something, he's going to point it out very clear. You need to change this. You need to do this. Can you go off kicking and screaming and doing your own way like Jonah did? Yeah, we can. And isn't it amazing that Jonah still ended up in the right spot? Jonah was wrong, but Jonah still ended up in the right spot. Do you know why? Because God is sovereign. I want to tell you something. When we let God have his way, it's foolproof. We need to start trusting in a good God. But forget the Jonah. If you really do want just to know what's right, don't live in fear, just walking around saying, oh, I don't know. Listen, you're wasting your time. Start going. You know, somebody gave this advice. You can't steer a ship that is sitting in the same spot. The ship's got to get moving. But as the ship starts moving, then it can be steered. You know what? You don't know what to do? Pray to God and ask him for direction and get up by faith and start moving. And God will steer your ship. He'll do it. He'll do it. Let's get going. And that's what Ruth does. Ruth gets going, and God led her to the right spot. Did he not? He led her to the right spot. That's a good God. You know, this is a perfect picture of God's providence. As we follow God and obey him and all that he asks us to do, God will lead us in the right paths. We know that all things work together for good to them who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. God was clearly guiding the situation in Ruth's life. He's clearly guiding. And notice, who was of the kindred of Elimelech, right? Amazing. That's the God that you serve. And I think that this is repeated from verse 1 to stress the importance of understanding God's providence. Look at what God is doing. God is doing a perfect work. Our walk in life must be that of faith. Obedience to God's instructions. Listen, when God says something clearly, follow it. But we need to trust that he will lead us into whatever situation that he desires us to be in. You say, can I make mistakes and mess it up? You can make mistakes, but you can't mess it up. God is going to do his perfect work. Now, there's a lot of, we could get into a big conversation about that. So if I sin, does God want? No, God is not the author of sin, and he doesn't cause us to go into that. We remember that. Please know that. You know, you just say, well, I did wrong here, but that must have been a part of God's plan. No. But you know what? A good God can take that mess up and turn it into something good. Praise the Lord, right? Now, let's not blame God, though, for our sin. God doesn't lead us to do that. No, that's our fault. But I praise the Lord that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, get us back on the right path. And by the way, God's word is good for that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The word of God can do that for us as he leads us and he guides us. Walking by faith, Hebrews 11, we see the example of how these people were led of God, and yet they stepped up by faith and action and did something. God worked. You remember concerning Abraham's servant finding a wife for Isaac? And I being in the way, the Lord led me. Was he in God's way? Yes, he was, and we've got to be in God's way. God, whatever you want me to do. George Mueller, the first rule that he has there in discovering God's will is just make sure that you're open. You're perfectly willing to do whatever God wants you to do. You know what? If you have your own agenda and you don't really want to know God's will, then you know, you're not going to find God's will. You already probably know God's will, but you've got to get to the point and say, God, I really want to do whatever you want me to do. Once you're at that point, you're over halfway there. God's not going to withhold any good thing from you. And so the servant was in the way. He was in the way, and the Lord led him. Brothers and sisters, you be in the way, and the Lord will lead you. He's promised to do that. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All of it. And lean not unto what? Oh, brothers and sisters, don't think too much about it, because I tell you what, that will take us to the wrong spot. I mean that. I'm learning the hard way. I'm a thinker. I'm one of these guys that ponder around for a while. It's time to start trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all that heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and what will he do? Direct thy paths. So we wake up in the morning, we say, God, would you direct my paths? What did I just do? I acknowledged him, right? And what will he do? Direct my paths. That's all it is. We make too much of this. Go to God, he's going to direct you. We need to start trusting God. Trusting God for what he's going to do. My wife has a good illustration that she gave to me from a certain verse. Proverbs 48:14. Would you turn? I'm just going to have you look at this verse. did I say Proverbs? Psalm 48:14. If you turn to Psalm 48, verse 14. My wife's been a big help to me with this. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. How long? Forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Did you hear that? He will be our guide even unto death. It was not too long ago that my family took a little field trip to the Civil War Museum in Harrisburg. There was hardly anybody there. It was just us. There was a few other people. We got there, we paid. They rejected my $50 bill that I gave. Said it was fraud or something like that. I took it to the bank, they gave me another one. It was okay, I don't know what happened there, but they didn't kick us out, but they made me give them another $50 bill. We went, that was irrelevant. We got in, and there was a person standing at the bottom of the steps. If you've ever been to the Civil War Museum, there's a big staircase there, and you start your tour upstairs, and you make your way all the way through. And there was a lady at the bottom of the steps, and she did one of these. I don't even know if she was at the bottom of the steps. She might have been there in the little gift shop there. But wherever it was, she said, I want you to go over to those steps, go up to the top, turn right, turn left, go down this hall, you know, one of those. And I'm thinking, whoa, I hope we end up in the right spot. We went over to the steps, we went up the steps, we turned right, and then, what did she say? Okay, we end up in the wrong spot. And so we started wandering, you know. You know, we went a little bit, there's a sign. We followed the sign, and we ended up to the right spot. Now, we look at God, in closing here, a lot of times we look at God just like that lady that says, all right, now you're going to have to pay attention to follow what I'm going to tell you to do. Now, you pay attention really clearly and don't mess up or you'll end up in the wrong spot. Go this way, go that way. Of course, you know God's word. And we think, oh no, I hope that I end up in the right spot. And we take off and we go up the stairs and, oh no, this doesn't look right. You know, folks, that's not what God does. You know what God does? He says, I want you to go to the steps, go to the top, turn right, go left, go down this hall, and there's going to be your spot. And then he walks over to me, and he takes me by the hand, and he says, come on. You know what, folks? That is comforting to me. You know what? There's definitely some times where I do what Nehemiah does to me sometimes. As I'm going this way, And I've got him in my hand, and he starts to go the other way. But you know what? My grip is a little bit better than his. And he goes like this, and he's got to come this way. And then he starts to go that way, and you know what? And you know what? We are just like that. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Are you catching this? God is our guide, even until death. There's not a time when you're walking up the steps alone, having to figure out, where do I go now? You know, we might think that, but all we have to do is let him keep guiding us. And he will do it. He will do it. There will be times when we start to go our own way, but my brothers and sisters, God is not going to just let you go. He's not going to force you. You can kick and scream and try. Listen, God's a good God. We need to trust him. And that's how we can step out in faith and start to live. Don't live in fear of, oh no, am I going to make it to the right field? And honestly, Ruth had no idea the magnitude of this decision. She didn't know that. She was just finding some place to glean. But as God is looking down, are you seeing what he's doing with Ruth? No, you go there. I don't know that he spoke to her or sent her a sign or anything like that, but she ended up in the right spot. Why? Because of God's sovereignty. God is in control. Glory in that, folks. Glory. And thank God that you've got a God that's not going to let you go. I'll tell you what, that will give liberty and freedom to you all if you let it. Father, thank you so much that you're a good God and that you love us so much. I thank you that you're going to be my guide even until death. Oh God, I'm so grateful for that. I don't have to worry about making mistakes. Oh Lord, help me to listen. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust you and obey. Lord, would you speak to me? Help me to obey. But Lord, thank you that you're going to lead us. Thank you that you're going to guide us. God, help us to see that you're in control of our lives and that you're going to take us to the right place. Oh Lord, help us not to go and get there kicking and screaming. Help us to go there willingly. God, help us. God, thank you that you're such a good God to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.